This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Noel and Chuang. Everyone is getting used to the new political landscape after Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri of UMNO was appointed as Malaysia's 9th Prime Minister. With UMNO back in the driving seat and the Perikatan Nasional or Barisan Nasional Coalition still somewhat intact, how will the opposition move forward?
Well, according to Dato' Sri Muhammad Shafiq Abdal, head of Parti Warisan Sabah, it will be doing its best to engage other parties for the betterment of the country. And of course, there's been discussions about the PM's ahead of the PM's appointment that Anwar Ibrahim and Shafiq Abdal are actually working together to form a government.
So does this cooperation still hold? And what is the future for Parti Warisan Sabah? For more, we have Dato' Sri Shafiq Abdal himself, the founder and president of Parti Warisan Sabah, on the line. Good morning, Dato' Sri. Thanks so much for joining us today. I want to start with the million-dollar question. Why couldn't Pakatan Harapan and other opposition parties gather enough support to form the next government?
Well, first of all, I'd like to express my gratitude for allowing me to be on air this morning. Well, I must say that unfortunately, we didn't secure the number in Parliament, in spite of there has been quite an assurance that the numbers were there. But history is already a done deal, and we managed only to secure less than 104. So the rest of the vote went into the current government of the day, Ismail Sabri, 114. 115 or 114, I think, if I'm mistaken. So we have tried our level best. Even on my part, I also discussed with Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim because he claimed that he has the number. So so I retreat in a way that, you know, in spite of we have an understanding that both of us have a base of 105 to work on. So unfortunately, there was not enough number. So anyway, I think it's quite clear. I think the need for the opposition bloc to be united, but at the same time, there's also a need for us to restructure the system. It's about leadership. I mean, we have to really look into it. How government after government, country after country, have been facing a lot of problems through so many evolutions in the world. It's about leadership. When leadership can also be sort of like, you know, visions a day. And of course, it must be well accepted by those people on the ground. Not only if you look into parliamentarian kind of voting patterns, there's about 220 of them. So, but more importantly, facing the next elections, I think there's about more than 10,000, 15,000 Malaysian voters will be there voting for the new government G15. So it is indeed very important for us.
Yeah, you say it's about leadership. So why is Anwar not getting enough support, including those in Sarawak?
Well, there were several reasons, but I don't want to spell it out. I suppose that they have already, that the three are now and have done his level best to secure that sort of things. But through history, I think somehow he has failed to secure the support coming from that part of the world. So we have to look into, once a leader has failed, I mean, we have to really look into what mistake, what wrong have we done before to ensure that we are in a better footing in the future. You know, we have seen so many leaders. I mean, for example, like, you know, in United Kingdom, when David Cameron lost Brexit, immediately he tendered his resignation. And then that was the prime minister post, you know, and then handed over to a very small minority government under Theresa May. And after that, handed over to Boris Johnson's. And Conservative is now still in power, in spite of the transition of three leadership in that particular vehicle, you know, so-called Conservative Party. So I think we have to really look into this on how best we can position ourselves to build up confidence.
So let's get
among Malaysians and also, you know, people at large, of various races and also, you know, number of states that we have in the country, to ensure that we can bundle them together.
Okay, so let's get more specific. I mean, this is a long-standing issue, right? So right now, what's your best guess? Why do you and Pakatan think? What do you think you have done wrong?
Well, I can't pin down over I'm trying to be very tactful, but I think there's a question of leadership here. We have to face it. You like it or not, you don't like it. I think somehow we have to sort of like portray not only a new branding of the opposition. We were able to secure, for example, like we won the last elections by 14, secure a number of votes coming from all walks of life, Malaysians, irrespective of race and religion. If I'm not mistaken, we managed to secure 1 to 5 or 1 to 4 votes coming from all parliamentary area in the country. And I was there, Tun Mahathir was there, and so was Mahidin, to did our bit to ensure that we can garner the support. And we contributed about 15 seats coming from Sabah, if I'm not mistaken. And then that's how we have been better able to build it up. But unfortunately, because of squabble within the system, quarreling between the system, a split between parties like PKR, like other Bersatu as well. So somehow we lost the mandate coming from the people.
Yeah.
So we have to relook into that to ensure how can we strengthen that. So the way forward is that if we are not sort of like strong enough to provide that sort of visions and hope, it's basically it's about leadership. If people have hope in us, that the way forward for the country is there. I think, I'm quite sure, I think Malaysians at large, they are fed up with the current kind of environment. You know, I mean, they just want to get out of all the mess that we have experienced for the last 3 years, if I'm mistaken, two years plus.
Yeah, Dr. Shah, I think you're right in gauging the sentiment on the ground, but you also talk about a possible branding issue with Pakatan and the cohorts. How can Pakatan rebrand itself? And I think also quite pertinently, you are quite constructive in saying that the decisions have been made. How can then, at the same time, you ensure that the government of today is kept on the straight and narrow where corruption and graft is concerned?
Well, that is part and parcel of what had been why we secure strong support coming from all Malaysians, because the need for us to reform the various kind of issues and policies. With regard to, for example, like corruption, high-handed or use of power, and also a lot of leakages in the system when we, you know, we budgeted almost every year, if I'm not mistaken, about 200 plus billions of money, ringgit, every budget. But, you know, we spent about 70 billions on educations, about 30 billions or 20 billions on health. And yet, you know, it's appalling to see what is happening on the ground. There's still school without enough chair. PIBG have to finance that, you know. PIBG is a group of, you know, parents of all the students. They have to fund it. They have to contribute to ensure even to buy chairs, for example, like, you know. I mean, this is something that's really, we have to revisit it because education is very important. For a particular country, for any countries in the world, you can have healthy people, but without proper education system, so you won't have that human capital that you really require to ensure that they can contribute and build the nation. And this is very important for us. I mean, you look at our health system. It's not that I'm saying that the need for us to buy more bed, you know, to have a five-star kind of hospital. But I think across the board, there seems to be disparity among areas in the country where there's no balanced kind of infrastructure that we've done since independence to ensure that the people in this country will be better off to having access to health services. So I think it's about leadership here. To boil down into that, I think it's important indeed. How do you disseminate that movement? You know, how can we realize that sort of changes and reform in policies? It's about leadership. If the leadership is quite clear in their minds and the way forward for us to get out, Malaysia getting out from the mess that we have now, corruptions, leakages, you know, development, making the nations to become very competitive, making the nations to have so many abundant human capital that we have in this country. I'm quite sure, I think, if we are able to lay it out, a policy, and also to ensure that we have a proper infrastructure to implement, to execute, to realize that sort of policy can be earned by the people.
I hear you, Dato' Sri, and I think you will no doubt find that Malaysians are very supportive of these ideas. You speak about education, you speak about health, you speak about infrastructure. These are all things that Malaysians can get behind. So I want to ask you, what is Warisan going to do now in order to get these policies into action? You're currently in the opposition. Could we see Warisan cooperate more with the current government coalition in order to get these policies actually implemented. What are your options ahead of GE15?
Well, we can do our part. It doesn't have to be in the cabinet. It doesn't have to be around in a committee. I think what is important for us, I mean, the top priority now is about health. You're talking about COVID. The top priority is about the economy, which is unemployment. A lot of people are bankrupted because of the environment that we face now. So on top of that, I think what is important, for example, like management of health services in the country, they can allow us to be on board. For example, like I'm representing one particular area or the state of Sabah, for example. Like, what is the most top priority that we need to realize? Vaccination. We have to get these vaccines to be on board, you know, available, readily available to the people at large. Unfortunately, for example, like Sabah, hardly, I think it's less than 29-27% now, second dose vaccinated. I mean, you can imagine, why is that so? Besides that vaccine is not enough. I spoke to some of the authority, to government officers, even Professor Jamila too. I contacted her, I said, can we just ensure that, for example, like when it is in the rural area, get a single dose, because it is difficult, extremely difficult for those poor folks, mm-hmm. poor people coming from the remote area, islanders, remote river of Kundasang, where they have to come over to the center. They don't have public transport, proper public transport. If they were to go to the vaccination center twice, you know, to get the vaccine, I think, of course, they can do that. But it's also a tedious job for them to get it done. So I think, how can we lighten the people to ensure that only one single dose is there available? If there's no single dose, then we have to just whatever available, whether it's Pfizer, whether it's Sinovac. You know, I think these are the most crucial part. Okay. I mean, the role can be played by people like us.
Right.
I mean, empower us. It doesn't have to be in the cabinet. We can monitor. We can closely. I'm doing it myself now, okay. Currently.
So you're
working closely with the local district doctors in my hometown. And I told, almost every week I communicate, even the director of health in Sabah as well. Recently, I communicated, I said, if there's any help that you require, I think this is more important rather than sitting down as a cabinet minister, because, you know, it's too much politicking.
Okay.
I think we have to prioritize things first.
We're going to have to end our conversation here, Dato' Sri. We are running out of time, but thank you very much for your comments and for laying out what you plan to do, which is more collaboration, especially with local government. And hopefully there are channels for you to engage more closely with the current government in order to get all the policies that need to be seen implemented in Sabah. That was Dato' Sri Shafi'i Abdal, founder of Parti Warisan Sabah. No doubt we'll have more conversations with him in the future. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.